Paul, let me ask you something. Do you like your family?
It's a really complicated question, Steve. I didn't realize this is where we're going to be going right now.
No, I mean, do you like seeing pictures of your family?
Yeah, sure. Pictures of my family are nice. Yes, sir.
Okay, I've got a great recommendation for you. It is the Aura Frame. You've probably seen some of these before. You go to your friend's house and they have a frame on the cabinet or in the living room or whatever, and it has digital photos.
Sure. Yes.
Well, I got this thing and I set it up, super easy to set up. I basically dumped a bunch of photos from my phone right onto it. Very easy to do. Took me just minutes.
All this sounds scary to me.
No, it's incredibly easy.
It's not hard. Okay.
And basically you can put like, seems like an almost infinite amount of photos on this thing. And then you can set the parameters and it can rotate your family through like every 30 seconds.
Amazing.
And it's great because I've got pictures of my son, my family.
Cool.
My dad passed away a few years ago. I get to see him popping up every now and then. The good ghosts of your personal history coming through on this thing.
Nice. That's nice.
They have a great deal for Mother's Day, so listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ChinwagPod at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Steve, guess what?
Paul.
Guess what, Steve? It's Chinwag.
Talk to me.
It's Chinwag, Steve. I'm here. You're here. I'm Paul Giamatti. You're Steven Asma. And this is Chinwag.
That's right. And you are wagging a chin that is much more, was it Van Dyke?
It's What's more, going it's on more there? Hirsute. It's a little bit hairier than usual.
Hirsute.
Yes, indeed. A little bonus facial hair. And we're bringing you a little bonus extra episode.
Oh, nice.
Wag.
Very nice.
Thank
transition.
You, sir. Thank you. So we've got the bonus as promised for your listening enjoyment, waggers. And here it is.
Enjoy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's move from southern Illinois to northern Wisconsin. I'm going to take you, Paul, to meet the Hodag, which is in Rhinelander, Wisconsin.
Okay.
The legendary Hodag.
And where
have
is
you
this
heard of the Hodag?
I have not. And
and
is this in the Driftless area?
No.
This
is further north, very heavily forested area, almost like up to Lake Superior. So like almost out of Wisconsin, like really far north, Rhinelander. And this is just a really fun one to me. I just love this one. This guy, there's a legend of a creature and in the 1890s, and it's described, it's called Hodag, H-O-D-A-G, and it's described by the folklorist Charles Brown as, quote, "the ferocious beast has horns on its head, large bulging eyes and claws, a line of sharp spikes run down the ridge of its back and long tail. The Hodag never lays down. It sleeps leaning against the trunk of trees. And it is said to eat mud turtles, water snakes, muskrats, and it does not disdain human flesh."
Ah, I like that. It does not turn its nose up at a plate of human flesh. Amazing.
So,
what a crazy sounding animal. I've never heard of this.
I know. It's really funny. And it's this guy, Gene Shepherd. He's basically like, his job is to go into the forest and scope where can we clear cut timber, you know, like old growth forest. So that was his job in the 1890s. Uh-huh. And he claims to capture one in 1893, and he brings it back and he tells everybody he's captured it. And he seems like kind of a huckster because when people go to see it, he puts on like a nice pair of clothes. He goes into the barn. Then people hear like a scuffling and screaming, which is him changing into some like shredded clothes. Then he comes out and says, He says, oh, not today. It's too rambunctious.
That's hilarious. Genius. God, like that. And then just like, that's really funny. Putting on the shredded clothes.
So then he steps up his game and he basically says, I've captured this live one and I'm going to display it at the Oneida County Fair. So this is Oneida County. Mm-hmm. And this is 1896. So he basically has like a little display set up. You have to pay your money. You come in. He's got it really dark. He's got like a little fire going with smoke going in your eyes. You know, he's got like what I think he's got his sons like moving a puppet like under a under a cloth.
Oh God, it's covered in a sheet.
Yeah, it's covered in a sheet, and he's moving you through real fast. Right,
yeah. Come on.
So eventually, like it's actually drawing tons of visitors and getting a lot of play in the papers. And actually, at some point, the Smithsonian says we're sending a scientist to see this thing.
Oh man, okay.
And that's when our man Shepard gives up the hoax and says, "Okay, I'm hoaxing you."
Oh really? Oh, he copped to it.
Yeah, he copped to it like a Barnum. And even after he said, "Like I've been hoaxing you." People then lined up because they wanted to see the hoax. Like, then they took a fun attitude towards it.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And he was basically, he thought, like, look, we can't keep clear-cutting the forest. We need to develop tourism in this area. So his logic was, if we could create, like, a creature that would draw people, we could have a sustainable tourism industry based on this, the hodag. Isn't that
fantastic.
Hilarious?
Fantastic. Yeah, but I mean, it's a nice impulse. It's a good,
really.
Let's not cut the, you know, we stop cutting the forest down. We'll just, oh my God.
Isn't that
so
great?
It's a short-lived beast, the hodag.
Yeah, it doesn't last long. Although here's the cool part.
Have people claimed to see it again or anything ever? Or is it just like, everybody just was like, agreed it was just a good.
Now in Rhinelander, they have like a festival and it's like paintings of it, murals of it. And you know how it's like, you know, some of the cryptids become like, I think there's a common theme, which we should maybe underscore, which is a lot of cryptids bring tourism that's like both sincere and ironic tourism. Yes. Like, isn't this funny? Here's the Loch Ness Monster, and we're going to buy our funny Loch Ness Monster stuff. So the hodag is a little bit like
that. No, and it's like Roswell, New Mexico or something, too. It's like, you know, you can bring all these people in.
But there's one sort of serious part of it.
Great idea for a movie, though, is that somebody does that, they hoax the thing up, and then real shit starts happening.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Then the fucking people start really getting ripped apart by something living in the woods.
Yeah, there's photographs of it. Like, this guy built something that is kind of creepy. There's photographs of all these guys around it from the 1890s, like in the woods.
Really?
And it's like kind of dark enough and kind of looks burnt and it's spooky. So if you get a chance, look up.
I think it was
the
like a
hodag.
Dead bear they found and they just
I
like,
wonder. Yeah. And then they just sort of messed with it, like tweaked it. The taxidermist got a hold of it.
Weird. Fantastic.
But the cool thing is that if you see a picture of it, it does actually look a lot like a creature that Native Americans created petroglyphs of. It's almost identical, in fact. So around the Great Lakes, on some stones and in caves, you'll see this creature that is very common. And in the Native American, in Ojibwe, it's called a Mishu Pishu. Mm-hmm. And the Mishu Pishu is like, is basically means an underwater cat or underwater panther. And so some people think that the hodag is like sort of this guy's version of a real folklore Native American
tradition.
And this thing lives in the water and it fights. This is something that might interest you because this creature.
You dig aquatic cats.
Yeah, you dig aquatic cats. Here's where you come into the picture. So this thing, it lives in the water and it's considered like one of the underworld gods or deities, and it fights the Thunderbirds. So the Thunderbirds come from above, like in Devil's Lake, Wisconsin, and fights this creature all the time. And I know you're interested in
that's
the Thunderbirds.
Fascinating. I am interested in the Thunderbirds. Nice, Steve. Yeah. I am interested in the Thunderbirds. The Thunderbirds are a whole other interesting. Yes, the Thunderbirds are these. Again, there's it goes way back into Native American legendary folk tales, and there are these figures that I think they the thinking was that the Thunderbirds caused storms. I think
yes,
that
I've heard this.
Like, yeah, and they were the omen of a big storm coming, or something like that. But that it's true that it has continued. I think every state in the country has had a Thunderbird sighting, which is these enormous birds with like 70-foot wingspans that are
like an eagle, but much bigger, right?
Like an eagle. And that was the thing, is that I was like, oh, like they're seeing pterodactyls again, but no, it's not. It's
they have feathers.
It's a bird. It's a feathered bird. It's like a condor or a vulture or an eagle. It's a humongous black and gray bird. And I do know that, I mean, it's funny you mention this, Steve, because I happen to have somewhere in my extensive notes.
In your cryptid
No, but it's
notebook.
Interesting that they've been sighted for a long time and still being sighted. Like it was recently, it's like 2018, there are people still seeing these things and all over the place. And a lot of the time, the birds try to steal children is the other thing, that they'll grab a kid and fly up with them.
That can happen. That's for real. That can happen.
Yeah, that can happen.
With a real predator bird.
Yeah, and that happens a lot. But here's the thing I love about Thunderbirds. And here I'm gonna knit together two disparate things, which is there's a Mandela effect aspect of the Thunderbird.
Oh my Lord.
Now, this is like super niche, but I did want to tell you about this. This couldn't be more niche. But allegedly, and this is the thing, is that I'm part of this Mandela effect. Supposedly in the 1890s in Tombstone, Arizona, or in the Arizona Territory, at least in the 1890s, a bunch of cowboys saw one of these things and they shot it down. They killed it.
Oh.
And I think it was reported on in the Tombstone Epitaph or whatever the hell the newspaper was called. I think it was called the Epitaph.
Was it really?
Yeah, I think it was. And that they reported on it and it became this sort of legendary thing. And to what extent was it a hoaxy thing or something? Who knows? But a guy in the 70s claimed to be a child at the time, said, I remember this happening.
Oh.
I remember this happening. I knew the guys who did it. And I remember, too, they took a picture. They took a photograph of this thing nailed to a barn door with all the guys standing in front of it with their guns.
Is it black? Because I think maybe I've seen this. Is it a black bird?
You only think you've seen it, Steve. Because that's the Mandela effect thing with this. This is the niche thing. Everybody thinks they've seen. People like us think they've seen it, but it doesn't exist. There is no photo. Nobody can find this photo of this Thunderbird nailed to a barn door with all these guys standing in front of it. I swear I've seen it too.
Yeah,
but the funny thing is, I remembered as looking like a pterodactyl or a dragon or something. But and then I think people have now faked them. People have made fake ones. But nobody's ever, since this guy came out in the 70s and said it, and everybody went, oh, yeah, I remember that picture. Sure. All the fucking weird nerds like us sitting around were going, sure, I remember that picture.
Let
me flip back through my Fate magazine here. I think I have that to my Popular Mechanics over here. But it's like, but it doesn't exist. You think you've seen it, but apparently
that's
there is
crazy.
No photograph. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
That's the coming together of the Mandela effect
and
the Thunderbird lore.
And
cryptids, I would have never guessed.
Cryptids and the Mandela effect, Steve. This is what the Chinwag is all about.
We need a whole show on this. That's what's coming
up,
people.
It sure is. Well, there you go.
Wow, that was fun.
I enjoyed that.
That was good.
I very much enjoyed that.
Chinwag is a production of Treefort Media and Touchy Feely Films. Hosted and executive produced by Paul Giamatti and Stephen Asma. Executive producers for Treefort are Kelly Garner and Lisa Ammerman. Dan Carey is executive producer for Touchy Feely. Our series producer is Rachel Whitley Bernstein. Original theme music by Luke Topp, with additional music by Via Mardot. Oscar Guido is our executive in charge of production. Tom Monahan is head of audio for Treefort. Animation created by Alex Sokol. Editing and mixing by Jeff Neal. Lastly, for more information, go to chinwagpod.fm and find us on Instagram or TikTok at chinwagpod or on Twitter at chinwag_pod.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.